Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
Hello, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
Okay, so we are here after a couple weeks hiatus. I moved. What are you going to do? Something's getting in the way of Patriots football season, but don't you worry. Didn't miss any games, didn't miss any snaps. And we are here to break down the last couple weeks of the Patriots' really ridiculous schedule up to this point.
Yeah. It's you know, people have been talking about how easy it is, and it really is that easy. I mean, it's great that we're 6-0, but it's also that, you know, we've pretty much played bottom of the barrel. Some good defenses in there. I will give that. We've played a few defenses. Not really offenses, but I still think, you know, the fact that our defense is blowing teams out, like scoring more than the offense is scoring, shows that they're legit still. You know, I really can't take anything away from the defense based on this.
Those are my favorite prop bets that come up seemingly every week at this point. Who's going to score more points, the opposing offense or the Patriots? And so far, the Patriots defense is holding their own in those bets.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They beat the Skins 33-7. Looked like a kind of a rough game during the first half. They're pretty much the worst team and worst run team in the league. And it ended up being 33-7. We kicked the shit out of them in the second half. Same thing with the Giants.
Yeah.
Very common theme of, you know, playing almost down to the opponent of the Giants or the Redskins for the first half. You know, still winning. I think we had the lead the whole time in both games, right? But not by much. You know, it was only a one-score game, and these were both mediocre. You know, I'd say the Giants are a little less than mediocre, and the Redskins are well less than mediocre. And they were kind of hanging around, and then second half comes, and boom. We score a couple times, game over.
Yeah. You know, I've rewatched a couple of the Do Your Jobs, and they discuss that the Patriots make specific halftime changes, as every team does. They're better at it than most teams. But one of the big ones is that they set up teams in the first half, and they'll show you a look, and then they'll find out what you do with it. And then in the second half, or in the fourth quarter particularly, they will show you the same look and do something off of that and then be hugely successful.
Right.
So it seems like...
Change it up a little bit.
They're doing part of that right now, and I expect that to continue. I'm looking at the schedule coming up. We know we got the Jets on Monday night on an extended week. And then Browns, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs. Which is a decent...
It's a nice run.
It's a decent run, but I'm looking at those teams, and I'm like, we'll win at least half of those games. And if they win half of those games after that, it's Bengals, Bills, Dolphins. So you're looking at a 13-3 record as the floor.
Right. I mean, it's pretty crazy. You know, we'll get more into it, but I feel like the league as a whole, especially the AFC, there's really not that many contenders. I mean, like, I feel like in years past... There's been a lot of 500 teams, so you don't know who is who, and a couple teams go on a run and separate themselves. But there's been a lot of 500 teams mostly. This year, it's like there's dog shit,
especially
in the AFC. I mean, and then because there's so much dog shit that teams are beating these dog shit teams, and then you go, wow, they're great. And then like the Dallas Cowboys, so you know the Patriots, I don't think fall into that category because they're defense. Defense is so legit, but someone like Cowboys, who played three bad teams, was 3-0. Everyone said, wow, Dallas looks great. And then they go play three still mediocre opponents and get beaten badly. I mean, Green Bay was good. They got beaten badly. They look like they didn't belong, you know.
Dallas had the number one offense in the NFL, and then they scored like a combined 15 points against the Saints and the Packers. And then they go into New York, and they lose to the Jets, who were winless.
Yeah, who were winless. I guess the Saints and, you know, Saints and Packers, those are two good teams, but that just shows you they don't belong. They don't really belong with them. And then the Jets, they got Darnold back. Everyone's going nuts about him. I mean, this team was 0-4 without him, meaning they don't have a great team.
No, you know, clearly not.
This guy can, you know, you take a, like, for example, the Patriots. You take Tom Brady away, our biggest piece of the puzzle, and this team is still above 500.
They're still winning two out of three games in the NFL.
still the number one defense in the NFL, still wins two or three games, or two out of three games, I would say. But the Jets go 0-4, or really 0-3 without their integral piece, which just says that their team is not very good. They were also missing C.J. Mosley. He's supposedly coming back. I mean, they beat Dallas. I think it's more bad on Dallas than good on New York.
Right. I concur. And the Jets are, they're pretty banged up, pretty much across the board. And I was looking at their injury report. They have nobody listed as out for this game, the upcoming game with the Patriots on Monday night. They have seven guys that are doubtful. Seven.
Yeah.
Their whole team is, I mean, their injury report makes itself. And then on top of that, they have six guys that are questionable, which includes the aforementioned C.J. Mosley. So that's a quarter of their roster right there that is like 50% or less to play in the game, and they're only allowed to sit seven people, which are already all on the doubtful list. So we're not getting them at the full strength. And you mentioned Sam Darnold returning to this team helped. It absolutely helped. Particularly Jameson Crowder. Anybody out there, if Jameson Crowder is available in your fantasy league, pick him up, because that guy gets...
I disagree.
He gets so many targets. Not for this week. I would say not for this week. But
yeah,
Sam Darnold loves him, and he throws him the ball constantly.
Really?
Sam Darnold's played two games this year, and Crowder has 25 targets.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's just throwing at him the whole time.
Yeah, 25 targets in those two games, I should clarify. So he's throwing it to him all the time.
That's pretty crazy.
If you watched the Cowboys-Jets game, it was not about the Jets being excellent on offense or defense. It was about the Cowboys bungling the shit out of their own situations, which is why Jason Garrett is clearly on the hot seat for like the ninth year in a row. I don't know what's going on with him. Did you see today that Urban Meyer, the former head coach of Florida, Ohio State, he's like, absolutely, I would want the Cowboys job. And it's like, well, first of all, nobody's offering it to you. And second of all, everybody knows this job is available. Garrett's not getting extended. It's not about the Jets. Right. It's about the Cowboys.
No, yeah, the Cowboys. And they were missing two left tackles. Or two, they're both tackles. I mean, right and left tackle.
Right.
In the game, which definitely takes a bite out of you.
But I would add to that that the 49ers were also missing both starting tackles in their game, and they dominated the Rams.
Yeah, they were really.
Yeah,
I know both they starting tackles. Them. I didn't realize they're
Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey were both out for the game, and you're looking at that, and that's why I picked the Rams. I picked the Rams last week. I realized we weren't on here to tell you all about, but I felt like the Rams were going to have a comeback game at home with the Niners coming off some euphoric win, and then they ran into a steamroll. The Niners are good. I don't know what happened to their defense. I was looking through the names, and I'm like,
I understand that
they have talent up and down, but they are all outperforming how well they should.
Yeah, their defensive line is playing out of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing really well. The Jets, I mean, I'm not really afraid of them. I think I've heard some chatter that, Darnold's back. Now they're looking good. This is what they were supposed to be, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I think it was more about Dallas losing than the Jets winning, and I can't see the Jets really putting up much of a contest against us. I mean, I think I don't think their offense is going to score one score, touchdown or field goal. I don't think a touchdown, but that's what I'd give them. That's what I think they could achieve in the 60-minute game.
Yeah, I'd give them 10. I'd give them 10 points. I think our defense matches up incredibly well with them. You got Robbie Anderson, who scored a 90-yard touchdown last week. He's their big play guy, and we got Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
And I love this. Jalen Ramsey gets traded for two first-round picks. And the amount of people that I've heard call him the best cornerback in the NFL, it's hilarious to me.
Yeah,
it's
like, he hasn't had a good season either.
Have you been watching the NFL for the last 2 years? Stephon Gilmore is out and above everybody else at cornerback right now. Darrell Revis said it.
Really?
Yeah. Darrell Revis is like, he tweets out, Stephon Gilmore is far and away the best cornerback in the NFL, right? It's like, if it takes one to know one, then that's one to know one right there.
Right. Well, and, I mean, the Giants game is a perfect example of it. They went, you know, Daniel Jones went after him. He was not afraid to throw to Gilmore. And I'm sitting there the whole time, and he may have had two or three completions on him. And I go, if he keeps coming after Gilmore, Gilmore's going to pick him. He's going to get an interception easy. And third quarter comes, boom, gets an interception, jumps the route, reads it a mile away. And it's like, yep, don't throw to him. He's going to get you, especially if you're a bad quarterback.
Yeah, eventually he's going to sting you. And he's known as a man coverage cornerback, and that was in zone coverage. He's a full-fledged cornerback. He can do it all.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on Robbie Anderson. He's going to be essentially nullified this week. And then I mentioned Jamison Crowder, who Darnold loves to throw to. I'm not saying he's a great player. I'm just saying he gets a lot of targets. And Jonathan Jones is perfectly situated to play against Jamison Crowder, especially with some help. So I think that's not going to be a problem. And then the rest of the defense is going to be entirely focused on Le'Veon Bell in the same way they were in the first matchup of these two teams, not very long ago, where Le'Veon Bell was shut down. And I expect that to continue. Right. It's going to be a bloodbath. I can't believe that it's only 9.5 points right now. I would say hammer that. That's the way I would view it. I'm not going to. I don't like to bet on the Patriots, but this would be the time to do it. I would think so.
You think so? You think the 9.5 is a lock? Because some people are like, oh, it's going to be closer than that. I don't know what people think their offense is going to do.
Right. Exactly. That's totally what
I
think.
And then you heard what Darnold said, right? Leading out a couple days ago?
No. What did Darnold say?
Darnold goes, yeah, they have a good defense. And he chuckled. He was like, huh. But they're unbeatable. They're beatable just like everybody else. And he said, I think our offense can be unstoppable when healthy.
He said unstoppable when they get their tight end back. And first of all, their tight end's not going to be back. And second of all, he's a goddamn rookie. What are you talking about? The tight end, is a rookie. And Darnold's 22. And, I mean, he's stupid. He's dumb.
And you're telling how many interceptions does the Patriots have at this point?
It's in the double
digits. It's like, dude, what are you doing? They have, let's see what their defense is.
Well, they're loaded. They've been picking the ball off like crazy. Jamie Collins, for some reason, and I don't understand this, is not in the discussion for Defensive Player of the Year. That's one of those things like Pro Bowl guards.
Him or Van Noy.
Or Stephon Gilmore, really.
Yeah.
Those guys have all been playing incredible for the best defense in the NFL. And it just Defensive Player of the Year is one of those awards that's very similar to the Pro Bowl for non-glamour positions, where you can't always point to statistics, where you need to grow a reputation in order to get that award. And you don't just see people pop up. Like a couple years ago, Luke Kuechly probably should have won it, but his reputation hadn't popped enough yet in order for him to get that award. And Jamie Collins is one of those guys where it's, oh, he's a retread. He's this guy. He's not a Pro Bowl level player. How could he possibly be Defensive Player of the Year? But put on the tape. Put it on. Guy's incredible.
Literally. Him or Van Noy. I mean, they've been playing out of their mind.
Yeah, Van Noy did miss a
just
game.
To fill in on that. Right. Just to fill in on that, the Patriots have 14 interceptions through six games and 25 sacks for 157 yards loss.
Wow.
They're giving up 112 out of completions versus attempts is 112 out of 210. So they're barely giving up 50% completion percentage.
That's incredible. And Sam Darnold, who has played two games, is going to come in and beat this team.
And says that they're beatable. Their defense, he said they're playing good. He didn't even say like great or like, you know, I mean, they're not good. They are setting records. They've literally broken multiple records.
The stats are they are playing better than any defense has in the last 50 years. So draw your own conclusions from that, because if that's not the definition of great, I don't know what is.
Right. And he says they're good chuckles, but they're beatable, like everybody. It's like, oh, there you go, buddy. Way to line yourself up.
Okay.
So
let's talk about
they're going to get after
for a sec. Yeah, they're clearly going to get after him, and they're going to cover down the receiver. But the offense is what is mediocre at this point. If you're going to say part of this team is mediocre outside of the kicking game, after Gostkowski goes down and they got to bring in Mike Nugent, and then they brought in 5 free agent kickers. You see that for tryouts? So they're not comfortable with Mike Nugent, who missed his first kick, but then made every subsequent quick kick after that in the Giants game. But let's talk about the offense. Tom Brady, obviously there. offensive line is playing okay. He seems uncomfortable. He does seem uncomfortable behind that offensive line, although it doesn't seem to me that there's any way for them to drastically improve the offensive line until Isaiah Wynn returns from the IR, which he hasn't started practicing. He's not available to practice. But the big thing that happened in the Giants game was Josh Gordon gets hurt. He rolls up on his left leg, I believe. And, I mean, we were texting about it. I thought he hurt his MCL in his knee. Turns out it's more of an ankle-knee, high ankle-type deal. And they did the MRI. They did the whole thing. And it's not deemed serious, but he's already ruled out for this week and probably will be for at least another week or two. So you lose Gordon. That's amazing
he's not season-ending.
I know. What is that guy made of? He's made of, like, tungsten.
I don't know, man. I don't know how that's possible.
I don't know how
he... But his leg bent like that, and he was, like, looked like he was going to come back in.
Yeah. He was down for a while, and then in the second half, he's on the sideline riding the bike. Like, I don't know how you're even moving your leg, never mind putting weight on it and pressure, the whole thing.
And you know, with a guy like that, they're not giving him painkillers.
Right. There's you can't give no him way. Anything. You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Anything. Nothing. Because if you do, I mean, that's like illegal to give drugs to a drug addict.
A recovering drug addict. I would hope he would say no and somebody would advise him in that direction. But
I'm sure they wouldn't even let him have any.
At the same position, N'Keal Harry, our first-round pick out of Arizona State, who was injured in his first game in the preseason, placed on IR. He now is able to return this week, and his first day he's able to return to practice, he does.
Yep.
So he is.
So he was given one of the designations.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to practice, what, 2 weeks?
He is allowed to practice for, I believe, up to 3 weeks before they have to create a roster spot for him. He could return as soon as next weekend to the playing field, but he could spend more time on the practice field just to get reps.
Yep.
So N'Keal Harry is going to join this team most likely. It doesn't always happen. Malcolm Mitchell had the same thing where he returned to practice and then never made it back to the active roster. I would imagine it's going to be tied into what happens with Josh Gordon. Meanwhile, Matt Lacoste, I think he,
unless there's any crazy setbacks, I think he's come. I think he's going to be activated.
Right, as long as he's healthy.
Unless anything ridiculous happens.
Right,
but it was just an ankle. I mean, he said plenty of time to recover from an ankle injury.
And the fact that he came back on the first day he was eligible, that's got to mean that he's pretty damn healthy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Matt Lacoste, starting tight end, got hurt in the game against the Giants, which limited them to what they were able to do offensively. A lot of people pointed to how little they were able to do on the offensive side of the ball, but they had one tight end. The fullback got injured. Jacob Johnson's now on IR. And then they only had three receivers. So all they could do was run one running back, three receivers, one tight end. That's all they were able to do offensively. They couldn't put in a power package because they didn't have the bodies. So it's not like you were seeing a fully rounded offense against the Giants. So Matt Lacoste is hurt. Ryan Izzo, who is the available tight end in that game, actually sustained a concussion in the practices this week. They bring in two more tight ends, including Benjamin Watson, who I'm super happy that Benji is back.
I'm happy they brought him back, too.
I know, because...
I'm sure Brady is, too.
They signed a tight end instead of him initially, and then you find out Ryan Izzo got the concussion, and then Benji is able to join the team afterward. Still no fullback. I feel like the fullback is an essential part of this offense.
But the tight end they got is primarily a blocker. I have a feeling they're going to put him back there.
Mm-hmm. No Danny Shelton? I feel like Danny Shelton should be a fullback.
Yeah, he would be great. Or Bolden.
Bolden, I don't know if he's ready for that. He played well against the Giants.
He did play well. He's like an offensive spark. I mean, I think Ben Watson and this blocking tight end, if this guy can block and make 10 to 15 catches this year, that's a huge win because we don't have a blocking tight end right now. I don't think Lacoste or Izzo can't block for anything. Lacoste is not good at it, but has made some blocks. So that guy, and then Watson has some blocking ability. I mean, he's mostly a receiving threat. I think that guy, I mean, if Watson can come in here and have 30 grabs, I think that's huge.
He's going to get a lot of playing time. He must be getting a lot of playing time.
And Brady's going to look at him a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think Brady's looking at him a lot. Edelman is still banged up, but still playing really at a high level, which is, you know, worrisome, but still great to see that. It's a chest injury, which is, it's his ribs, right? So he's, I mean, that's just painful. There's nothing you can do about it.
How about Jacoby Myers' hands? Does anything get off of his hands?
He looks pretty good, man. I mean, now that you got Dorsett coming back, Edelman, Dorsett, and him, and three receiver sets, that's pretty good. I mean, he was the number two last week, and he was getting open.
He's open, and anything that touches a fingertip doesn't really matter. He's bringing it in.
Yeah, he makes great catches.
And then you'll eventually get Josh Gordon and N'Keal Harry back, and then they can make the decisions on playtime there. Things are looking up in that direction. Isaiah Wynn obviously got put on IR earlier in the year. He's got a couple weeks more to go, and he's able to practice again.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at that
schedule, that'll be a big boost. I mean,
I'm not scared about that schedule.
Oh, I was more scared 6 weeks ago than now.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I mean,
especially with we need to talk about the Chiefs.
Yeah, Mahomes.
The Chiefs are
Mahomes is down and out.
By far the biggest competition in the AFC, and they lose two games because Pat Mahomes has an injured ankle, and then in the third game after he injured his ankle, he dislocates a knee. Oddly enough, they win that game by a big margin. But
yeah, right. Denver is atrocious.
That's a bad team, right? What the hell happened?
They are. Flacco is worse than I even thought was possible. He looked terrible.
Real bad. But Mahomes is going to be out for a month.
Several weeks are saying he should be back by our game. Who knows if he's going to what he's going to look like then? I mean, he'll probably still be pretty impressive. But here we go with another. You know, I was saying he was getting beaten up. He was getting beaten up, and it clearly took a toll on him. The run that we thought was going to be really hard. Cleveland, just their defense is terrible. Their offensive line is worse.
Yep.
I think we're going to manhandle that offense defensively. You know, when our offense might have some troubles here and there. You know, with what's his name at left end, who's really difficult sometimes. But that's really it. Myles Garrett. Yeah, thank you. Baltimore, everyone thought they were going to be a showrunner, and their offense is great and can be great, and I think we'll have a little difficulty with them. That's probably one of the best offenses we'll face, but their defense is atrocious.
It's so
bad.
They
just got Marcus Peters, who is the second worst cornerback statistically in the league, so, you know, do what you want with that. Philly, everyone thought was legit and had a great, looked like a good defense, and they just got smacked in the mouth hard by Minnesota, who I wasn't too impressed with at all.
They might,
and then you look at
Philly
their schedule.
They might get healthier. That's the one thing.
They're difficult. They're one of the more difficult teams. I mean, that could be a loss. It's at Philly, but it's not as scary as it was 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, same thing. With Dallas.
Shit. Same thing with Dallas. Dallas has taken several steps back. I don't even think that's a big game anymore.
Right.
I mean, the real big one is Houston. Houston's offense is phenomenal right now. That Laremy Tunsil trade, as much as they gave up for him, is looking like that's making all the difference for Deshaun Watson. He sits back there. He's got some good receivers and good weapons, and Deshaun Watson can play football.
And they're running the ball, too.
And they're running the ball well. Their defense isn't amazing, but it's good. It's, like, good enough. You know, they're holding people down. That's the big one to me. Kansas City, their defense is terrible.
Yeah, their defense is virtually terrible. They're actually pretty good against the pass, but they are dog shit against the run. That's why, I mean, it doesn't really matter who you have. If you have a running back that's 215 pounds plus, he's going to go for 100 yards against Kansas City. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
You could put anybody out there and it's going to happen. And you can guarantee when the Patriots play against Kansas City, which is at home this year, I believe, Sony Michel is going to have a big night. In the same way that he did the last two times they played each other.
That's true. That's true, and that ends that run. Then you got Cincinnati, who's a tomato can. Buffalo will be a good game, but it's in New England, which is always they always don't play nearly as good as they do at home.
And they've proven that Josh Allen is made of poop. That guy stinks against Patriots.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's terrible. And then Miami, which is just the dumpster fire that is, and that's also here in friggin' December. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean. Okay. it's amazing that the 16-0 thing is still on the table, but it's like I mean, if Gordon and Harry both come back and are contributors, if Gordon can be the true contributor we expect, and Harry can be a good number three, I mean,
I think
this team can do it.
It's the biggest concern for this team right now for me is Brady's uneasy
and Isaiah
behind
Wynn.
The offensive line. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. He looks uncomfortable. They scored 35 points against the Giants, and he looked unsettled. I'm like, this guy's
Played
the league for 20 years, and they just put up a 30-burger, and he still didn't look good. Like, as soon as he looks good, this team is unbeatable.
That's really what it comes down to. So if Isaiah Wynn, can he progress? And he only had turf, though. I mean, he should be fine.
He should be fine.
It's a matter of he can stay out there, because now he's played a combined three games and torn his – was it ACL or Achilles?
Achilles.
He tore his Achilles and got turf, though, and has missed, you know, a season and several games. So
put it together, Isaiah. You're 24. Put it together.
I know. Play through it. Turf toe.
Can't you play through turf toe? Logan Mankins played through a torn ACL for an entire season. What a savage.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell me you can't play through turf toe.
Well, you don't need to right now. Hopefully he gets healed up and then he doesn't need after that. All right, let's look at some games for this upcoming weekend. I did not have the Broncos losing by 24 points on Thursday.
Do you want to do Patriots pick yet?
I'll totally do it. I'll do 27-10 Patriots.
I'm going to go 33-3.
Man. Yeah, I think this... I just don't understand what would possess the Jets to say anything publicly. Why would you say a single thing? I would just shut the F up.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
I know. They're coming off of the biggest win for that team in, I don't know, 3 years maybe. And already they have big heads. It's like, get it together, all right? It's a 16-game season.
It's like you're 1-4. 1-4.
Yeah.
You basically have no chance of getting into the playoffs. There's a chance, but it's almost none. And you are already talking because you beat fucking a 3-2 team. It's like classic Jets. Way to go.
Okay. I have a couple games I want to talk about this weekend. The first one is Oakland surprisingly has had a good season. I don't know how, but they are going into Green Bay. They're going to play the Packers, and the Raiders are getting 7 points on the road. Actually, it's moved. It's all the way down to 4.5. Everybody's voting the Raiders. Well, anyway, I like the Raiders in this matchup because the Raiders have one of the better rush offenses in the league, and the Packers have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. Devontae Adams is missing, and that changes their offense entirely. So I actually like the Raiders.
All right. I like it. Green Bay got away with a pretty lucky win last time. Hmm. Who's to say that's not to happen again? That's what, you know, plus 7 would be nice. Plus 4 is, or 4.5. That's tough.
It makes it a lot closer. One. In a similar regard, I'm going to talk about the Jaguars. Jaguars are also getting 4.5 on the road going into Kansas City. Jaguars plus 4.5. You heard it right, against the winless Bengals. How is that not a bet?
Wait.
Oh, no.
You're taking Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is giving up
4. Right, yeah, they're minus 4.5.
I still like it.
Cincinnati's bad, but I feel like if they were going to win a game, this could be one of them.
Yeah, okay. All right. We got a little split decision there. What do you feel about the Miami Dolphins going into Buffalo, getting 17
I was just gonna
points
say that.
On the road? 17?
I mean, I like Miami just because it's a divisional game and Josh Allen is terrible.
I know, right? And he's coming.
It's like, how are they going to score 17 points?
Right.
How are they going to score 17 points? Yeah. I don't think that's possible.
How is Miami this bad?
You got a good. I think
could
a great
sit out there and say that Miami is not tanking. They're getting 17 points to a bad team.
Buffalo's not bad.
All right. Buffalo is half bad, half real. The Buffalo defense is top five in the other. Their offense might be five.
It is, right?
Yeah.
I know, but they're going to make the playoffs because their defense is good enough to do that.
I totally believe that.
I think Minnesota. I think Minnesota Detroit's a very interesting game. I think that's a pick 'em.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, which is difficult. I really like San Fran at Washington. They're minus 10.
I like that.
San
that
Fran
as well.
Minus 10. I think that's too easy.
I think they'll definitely
get 10.
I think they'll totally. I think San Fran's a good pick there, and I also like Philadelphia plus 2.5 at Dallas.
Do you? I don't like Philly just after they got destroyed.
I think that's just a better team. They're better coach. They have better players. I like the whole thing they have. Plus 2.5 on the road. Yeah, I'll take them.
You know what I like? I really like the Ravens at Seattle. They're like plus 3.5. Seattle's defense is terrible.
They are, but so is the Ravens' defense.
I know. It's going to be high scoring. I think you can go for the over on that one.
I got over-under at 48 on that game.
Yeah, that's 24 points a team. It's going to be like 30 to 60 or something. It's going to be something ridiculous. Yeah. Also, another game that I like New Orleans over Chicago. They're at Chicago, and they're plus 4.
That seems too good to be true to me. Because I've watched New Orleans the last month of the season, and they've looked great. Ever since Teddy Bridgewater took over, that defense has been outstanding. And it's like, why are they getting great 4 points on the road against Chicago, who just lost to the Raiders? They've looked like kind of trash.
Yeah,
and it's Akeem surprising. Hicks and is on IR, good... our boy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's on IR.
Damn, that's a big blow for them. I also like the under for that game.
That's a good call. Ooh, 37, because it's pretty low.
It's low, but, I mean, those are two offenses that aren't going to score much.
Yeah, seriously.
I also do like...
Go for it.
What is it? No, what were you saying? The last what?
I was going to say the last two games for the Saints, I think they've scored a combined 25 points in their two wins.
Right. And Chicago's probably around the same place. The last one that I really like is I like Houston over Indianapolis. Houston is minus or plus 1.5, plus 1 or something.
I would say that I don't have a strong feeling about that game one way or the other. I would stay away from that one.
Really?
But Houston looks good. Indianapolis is, sorry. I'm just watching the Penn State-Michigan game right now as we're recording this on Saturday night, and Penn State is taking over because Michigan's offense real bad and has been all season. Indianapolis has been overachieving, but Houston is so hot right now, I don't know if they can keep it up. Part of me feels like they're going to fall apart at this point.
Because it's a divisional. I think they'll win.
Just on the face of these rosters and the way that their season has gone so far, I feel like Houston should be a 5-point favorite in this game, and they're an underdog. Does that make sense?
Right, exactly. I hear you. They should be a favorite. And the fact that they're not is people are riding the train on what they did against the Chiefs or 2 weeks ago, which I understand, and they are coming off a bye, and Frank Reich's a good coach, but I think they're putting a lot of stock into that Chiefs game, and it was because Mahomes was hurt. His ankle was fucked.
Yeah.
And then it got more fucked, and they didn't have Tyreek Hill. I mean, there was a few pieces. They got the Colts. I'm sorry, the Colts got the Chiefs, and they got a perfect time to take advantage, and they did, and now people are like, well, Indianapolis is great.
Well, both of those teams.
Their offense isn't that.
Both of those teams did.
Yeah, I mean they did. Yeah, their offense. Indianapolis has only scored 16 against the Chiefs' terrible defense.
19. Yeah.
Or 19.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You know what I mean? I'd take Houston's defense over the Chiefs any day.
Oh, definitely. So, who is the biggest threat to the Patriots in the AFC right now? Is it the Texans?
Probably Houston.
I think it is too.
We usually mop the floor with them.
I was thinking about that today.
It's like the unscariest, scariest team.
Typically, that is how it goes. However, we haven't done that against Deshaun Watson. We only played him one time, and it was the opening game of last season. That was the only time we played Deshaun Watson, and he put up 20 points to our 27.
Right. I just think we match up with them so well.
Especially on the coaching staff, I think.
Yeah.
When you're talking all about around. Belichick, who trained Bill O'Brien and Crennel, and Larry Izzo is no longer there, but they have a slew of former Patriots brain men on their team staff I feel like we can get the upper hand there. And Belichick is well known for containing mobile quarterback and containing dominant pass rush,
right?
Which is pretty much what they have with a J.J. Watt and a Whitney Murray.
Yeah, that's really with our offensive line. That's their whole team. I mean, you look how our defense matches up with their offense. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Our cornerbacks perfectly match up what they have on offense. Well, I'd probably say that about any team in the league right now because we're so good.
Yeah, we're so stacked. But if you go back to any of the games that we've played against them with DeAndre Hopkins, and it was Logan Ryan against DeAndre Hopkins, and he was getting smothered. Never mind. You always play him. You put a Stephon Gilmore against him. You put a Johnny Jones against Will Fuller, and you got safety help with both of them, and then a containing pass rush, and you're fucked. Let's be honest, as an offense.
Right. So yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape for this weekend for sure, and there's definitely some good games.
Pretty goddamn good shape. You heard it here first. Okay. I got Pats 27-10. James J has them 33-3 because he doesn't give one iota of Fs. So tune in this weekend. No. See your team pull it off. And then I guess on Monday night, I should say, after an extended bye week, they got like 12 days to prepare for this Jets team. Sam Darnold is in for whirlwind. And we will be back next week. Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate you listening, and we'll go over this whole thing and talk about how the entire NFL landscape has flipped on its head again in a week, which I'm sure it will after everything that goes down this weekend. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Adios.